Well, Father God, let us really understand tonight that you are working on us, that you are changing us, and you are bringing us to a place that you want us to be and not where we want to be. Father God, I know that I know that I know that you have been making us strong towers that others can run into. And I know, Father God, that you're still doing extra work within us, and we thank you for it. We praise you for it. I thank you, Father God, for your grace. It's so sufficient because we do fail you day in and day out. But, Father God, because of the grace, let us shed that grace abroad to others, Father, and give them the chance to make mistakes as you do us. Let's quit judging one another, and let's just walk in the faithfulness that you called us to walk in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, sometimes we judge and we don't even know we're even judging. We look at the way a person's dressed. Don't say nothing, but our eyes are seeing a multitude, you know. And we watch people, how they react or interact, and we don't say nothing, but our minds are judging constantly. And we need to stop that. We need to start having the mind of Christ. Instead of judging people, we need to be asking God to just set them free. All right, tonight God wants to talk about the little foxes that spoil the vine. And God says, since when is a little sin acceptable? Children, does not my word tell you that it is the little foxes that spoil the vine? And you find that in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Those little sins, as you call them, will keep you out of my kingdom. I have called my body to total repentance. I have called my body to walk in righteousness and holiness. I explain in detail what will keep you out of the kingdom of glory. And let's go over them right now. Too many people sitting in the house of God think they don't have to do the whole word. They think that they can pick and choose what they do. And the things you pick that aren't of God are those little foxes that will take you right out of the kingdom of heaven. So God said, let's look at what he tells you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an adulterer has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Those are the things that's going to keep you out of heaven. Verse 6 says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. You know, for years, a lot of pastors were teaching sloppy grace. You once saved, always saved. You can do whatever you want to do and just repent, and you'll still go to heaven, and none of that's true. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21 says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. All these things are going to keep you out of the kingdom of heaven. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't be living with somebody, not married to him, and go to heaven. It's not going to work. You can't be out there looking at pornography and go to heaven. It's not going to work. You can't be out there, you know, just loving who you choose to love and still go to heaven. It's just not going to work. You have to be about the Father's business, doing exactly what Jesus did and staying close to the Father. Now, if we are a true child of God, we cannot live life any way we choose. God has a set of standards for those who are truly His. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Those are the things that a true child of God, those are the fruit that they should be displaying at all times. I don't see that in the body of Christ. God goes on to say, children, from whence cometh your help? Does it not come from the Father of lights? Am I not always by your side to lead, guide, and direct your feet on the path that I have set before you? And that's in Psalm 121. Then why do you always take the side roads that lead to eternal destruction? Why is it that you cannot become totally focused and stay on the road of unadulterated love? You know, we love one day and the next day we hate. Or we love one minute and the next minute we hate. We can't do that. The minute you start hating could be the minute that your life snuffed out of you and you go straight to hell. He said, then why do you always take the side roads that lead to eternal destruction? Why is it that you cannot become totally focused to stay on the road of unadulterated love? Now he said, this is the problem. This is why you can't do that. My children refuse to walk in love. The love of Christ does not hold grudges. It does not keep records of wrongs. I say then, walk in love and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. You're going to have to learn to love the unlovable. You're going to have to learn to love those who mess up. You're just going to have to learn to love, or you're just not going to make it in the kingdom. That's just all there is to it. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. How many years ago did God give that to us? And this church is still not walking in unity, and this church is still not walking in total love. Still judging one another, still criticizing one another. Why? Because God said, arise, shine, for your light has come. God has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. In other words, the glory's already on you, but you're still walking as the world walks. This is the most exciting time to be alive as we, the church, walk out the scripture. God has promised that our gifts are going to be magnified. God wants us seeking and operating in all the supernatural gifts. How can we attain the fullness of Christ and the unity of faith that can empower us to manifest the gifts and see even greater works, as stated in John 14? Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes. You have to believe in Jesus. And if you believe in Jesus, then you're going to have the fruit of the Spirit evident in your life. Come on. And if you're walking contrary to the fruit of the Spirit, then you don't really believe in Jesus. And that's a fact. God keeps saying the key is love, divine love, agape love. If we are going to do the same works that Jesus did and greater, we must be just like Jesus. We must be vulnerable to love. Jesus was the only one that was wounded for our sakes. He became vulnerable unto the death so love could hold him on a cross. Too many of you still have walls built around your hearts. You won't let Jesus in, and you definitely won't let anybody else in, and God can't use you until you allow him to tear down those walls. And once he tears down that walls, then you are vulnerable to be hurt. You are going to be hurt. That's just a given. There's no way you can get away from that. Well, I don't want to be hurt. Well, then God can't use you. He just can't use you because people hurt you. You know, they despitefully use you. I mean, if you're alive at all, you know that's the truth. And the more you're following God and the more you're trying to be the loving person that God's called you to be, the more you're going to be trampled on. The more people are going to take advantage of you. But you have to always remember, you stay in a love walk and God will take care of your enemies. And we're going to see God starting to take care of our enemies real soon here in the next couple months. Because he said he's tired of the world trampling all over his chosen people. You don't have to vindicate yourself. God is going to do it for you. And whatever they've stolen from you, God's going to return to you 100-fold. As we cling to Jesus, we are grafted to the precious tree of life so we can bear fruit of the Spirit. As we cling to Jesus, we are grafted to the precious tree of life that was in the garden. Why? So we can bear fruit of the Spirit. All right, now, where there was hatred, love becomes our greatest aim. Where there was turbulence, peace rules in our hearts. Where there was impatience, long-suffering has taken root. Where there was harshness, gentleness flows. Where there was evil, goodness sprouts abundantly. Where there was disloyalty, faithfulness abounds. Where there was rashness, self-control now thrives. Where there was hardness, gentleness is much more powerful. Where there was mourning, the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. This is how we're supposed to be changing from worldly to spiritual. I don't see that in the body of Christ. The body of Christ does not display the fruit of the Spirit. We're too self-centered. We're still always thinking about me, 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 me. I was telling somebody the other day that when I was heading up the deliverance, well, I was the only one doing deliverance, I had a gentleman who was really demon-possessed. I took a 30-day leave from my work. I fasted those 30 days and 30 nights, brought him into my home, and was up with him 24 hours a day doing deliverance on him. I set my life totally and completely aside, and my husband said, you know, you really need to get some rest. I said, God will give me rest. And I worked with this young man, got him partially set free, but he did not want to be totally set free. Then he started playing games with me, and I told him, okay, we're finished after 30 days. I said, I can't help you anymore. But I gave up my life to set that soul free. Jesus gave up his life to set me free. And that's what we have to do. We have to give up our life to be set free. As we read about Jesus, we see that he was never suspicious or bitter. He never lost hope in anybody because he put his trust in God first. He trusted absolutely in what God's grace could do for others. Let's read this again. As we read about Jesus, we see that he was never suspicious or bitter. I see a lot of that going on in the body of Christ. He never lost hope in anybody. Even when God tells me somebody's not going to make it, I still pray for them. I just believe in that God can get to them and change their heart. I never give up on them. because he put his trust, because Jesus put his trust in God first, he trusted absolutely in what God's grace could do for others. Do we do that? God said, no, you throw the baby out with the bathwater. Give up too quickly. You don't go the extra mile. This is what God's saying. It's too much work for you to labor over somebody who is demon-possessed. So you walk away. Jesus never walked away. I was reading a scripture the other day where Jesus said, tell that fox that I'm busy. I'm casting out demons and I'm healing the sick. He said, I don't have time to talk to him. We don't say that. We don't say, well, I'm just too busy to come and talk to you or email you or whatever you're going to do because I have a person I'm trying to get delivered. I have somebody that needs healed, and I need to be about the Father's business. I need to be working on these people. I'll talk to you later. That's what Jesus said. You know, you're not just like Jesus. He still has some purifying to do within you. He's still trying to get that old mindset changed. And, you know, sometimes, you know, God told us that we would be in the house 24/7. But if you're kept a half hour over, then you throw a fit. What are you going to do when God said, stay in the house 24/7? Forget about your pot that you think you have to have and you want to leave the house so you can go smoke. Because I know that happens. That's why I'm using that as an example. I'm sorry, we don't have a basement where you can go smoke your pot. So if you're staying in the house 24/7, then you're going to be working for God 24/7. Are you ready to go that extra mile? Are you ready to go get rid of those things that bring you pleasure? And stay with working with people who the enemy has bound and God wants to set free. Ezekiel 36:25 says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. God wants us to be in Ezekiel 36 right now. And this is what God wants to do to us. He wants to get all the world out of us and only put his kingdom in us. Because if we have any of the world in us whatsoever, God's not going to be able to use us. Simple, plain, nothing confusing about that. We need to thank God for removing stony hearts and giving us new hearts. Hearts that can live lives of the agape love. Y'all know that when I was first born again, I had a wall built around my heart. You were only going to come so far and no further because I was never going to be hurt again. And God said, daughter, you've got to let me break that wall down because if not, I can't use you. Your heart has to be out there to be hurt if you're going to be my servant. And that's the way I've lived. And do I get hurt? Yes, I do. Continually get hurt, especially by the ones that I think wouldn't hurt me. And I have to keep on walking. I have to keep on doing the things that God's called me forth to do. A lot of people don't understand what I do, why I do, or how I do, but God knows all things. And I'm not concerned if you understand me. You understand? You don't need to be concerned what people think about you as long as you're walking with God and doing what God's telling you to do. Church, we need to reflect the glory of the Lord to the world. We need to be love vessels that can love the unlovable and encourage those who are downtrodden. It does not matter where you are right now in your walk. We need the love of Jesus to shine through us more than ever before if we are to win the lost world to Jesus. You know, you have to keep working with a person. It doesn't matter if it looks like anything's going in. Something always goes in. God never wastes his words. Something always goes into that person, and eventually down the road, they're going to come to you and say, I thank you for talking to me that day because it was what you said to me that I kept in my head, and that is what helped me get changed. You started somewhere. You weren't always who you are today. Somebody had to spend time with you and minister to you and speak the truth into you to get to where you're at today. All right, God said he was going to send leaders in here, and he was going to use me to teach you how to be a true leader. A lot of you have become stumbling blocks to the body of Christ because you will not yield your 100% to God. And God's going to shake you out of here, in any church. He's going through the churches. He's shaking out the chaff. He's not going to let the chaff destroy the church any longer. So where do you stand? Where do you stand? You know exactly where you stand. God knows where you stand. I only know what God tells me or what you show me. We need that same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. What do you think causes healings? It is the pure, unadulterated love of Jesus pouring through us. Why aren't you seeing more healings when God said you have healings in your hand? Because you're not really a love vessel that God can use. You still have not perfected love. You still have not crucified your flesh. You're still thinking about what you need, what you want, instead of being full of love like Jesus was. We need to work on our love walk. God's been telling us that for 20 years. It's too bad we haven't perfected it yet. It is the same love that caused Jesus to hang on the cross and cry out, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. It is the same love that raised the dead, cleansed the leper, healed blinded eyes, made the lame to walk. I had somebody in my life was always doing bad things to me, and I would always say, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And one day he said, don't you ever say that again about him. He knows exactly what he's doing. He calculates every move. Don't pray that way about him. So I quit praying that way. I just said, all right, God, they're yours. You know exactly what's in their heart. You do what you know that you can do, right? Because you really don't know what's in a person's heart unless God shows you. They can show you anything you want with their face. And God's always said that you have two faces, one for the church and one for the world. Some people have three. Come on. You have one for whatever you want to use it for. I'm not being ignorant. It's the truth. And God's trying to set this church free so that we can be the love vessels that God's calling us forth to be. And we can win souls to Christ. All right, Mark 12:28 says, then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that Jesus had answered them well, asked Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. You have to love the Father first before you can love anybody else. You're trying to love your wife and your children, and you can't because you don't love God first. God has to become number one in your life. You have to love him first. Then he'll take care of everything else. But we're too busy judging why people do what they do instead of getting closer to God ourselves and loving God. I know years ago when I used to deal with marriages, God said, they don't know how to love. They know how to lust, but they don't know how to love, and that's why marriages fall apart. And the reason why they don't know how to love is because they don't love me. They don't even know me, let alone love me. And you're trying to do something that's impossible. All right? I guess it's putting the cart before the horse, right? When the scribe, is that where I'm at? When the scribe questioning Jesus agreed, Jesus made an interesting statement to him by saying that he was close to the kingdom of God. We're going to read a scripture to cover that. You cannot be close to the kingdom of God until you understand love. In Mark 12:32, so the scribe said to Jesus, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now, when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." God said, you're learning about love. And once you learn about love, then you're not far from the kingdom of God. Out of all the things we are admonished to go after and possess, again, the greatest of these is love. In 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Of all the things God is going to pour out in these last days by His Spirit, love would have to be the top of the list. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 13:1, because some of you people prophesy, you think you're all that, and some. Listen to this. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So if you run around speaking in tongues, do you have love? I know people can speak in tongues 24/7, but do they have love? And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. You can prophesy that the moon turns green. And if you don't have, and the prophecies could be correct. And they probably are correct. But if you don't have that pure, unadulterated, agape love of God in you, you're nothing according to the word, right? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. You can work your fingers to a bone. You know, going to out on the street, helping the homeless, and, you know, being the one that always organizes things. But if you don't have love, you're nothing. And your actions show you don't have love. Your face will show you don't have love. But yet we try to pretend we have love. You're awful quiet here tonight. The Spirit without measure would bring love without measure. A revelation of love that will rock both our world and the world around us. All right, the Spirit without measure would bring love without measure. A revelation of love that will rock both our world and the world around us. Why are we not seeing miracles? Where is our love walk? You were still, you and God said, you're still biting and devouring one another. That's not love. And you don't have the love walk. That's why you don't see miracles. There's no unity in the body of Christ. If there's no unity, that means there's no love. And yet you went, God, oh, pour out your glory, pour out your glory. Bring the healings, bring all the greater works. Why? You're not doing what he asked you to do. You have not yet died out to your flesh 100%. You know, don't come and tell me you love, because I can tell whether or not you love. I watch your fruit. I do watch your fruit. Some of it's spoiled. God knows you inside out and upside down. You can fool the people, but you can't fool God. He sees all things. Where's your love walk? When do you really want the glory to fall? Well, the glory's already here. When do you want it to manifest in its fullness? Let's put it that way. If you really want the glory to manifest in its fullness, then start walking in love. Work on your love walk. Remember what God asked, what's his name? Huh? Bob Jones went to heaven, and God said, tell the people one thing I'm going to ask them when they stand before me and I judge them is, did you learn to love? If you didn't learn to love, he's going to say, depart from me, I don't know you. Well, I love my wife. What about all the ones around about you that aren't lovable? Well, I love my son. Well, what about all those around about you that's unlovable right now, that's messed up, that the enemy has bound up? Well, I love them. Do you really? Watch your fruit. Watch your own fruit. You should be fruit inspectors of yourself first, and then fruit inspectors of others. If your fruit isn't good, then you need to start working on your fruit, and don't worry about the other's fruits. Let them worry about their own fruit. You start working on yours. And I know that I know that I know that sitting in this room are people that don't know how to love. Even people, if there's anybody listening, they don't know how to love the way they should love. Well, I love, but I taught you years ago that if you say I love you, don't put but behind it. So every now and then I catch myself getting ready to say but, and I said, no, I can't say but because then I really don't love. See, you know, I learn from what I teach, and then I walk it out. But I know why God called me to. He called me because he said, I can trust you with my love walk. I choked on that one. Sorry, excuse me. He really did say that. Can he trust you with his love walk? Ask yourself that. Can he really trust you with his love walk? I read just this morning, wee hours in the morning, where God said it. He's really been working on teaching his children wisdom, because we're going to have wisdom more than we've ever needed wisdom right now in this dispensation of time. If you don't know how to love, you're sure not going to get wisdom. You know, God says it's never too late to start working on your love walk. Why do people do the things they do, the bad things they do? It's because they feel like they're not loved. And when you're raising your children, you really have to watch that, that you don't destroy their spirit in that area. And I really have to work really hard, you know, to make sure I don't do that. And I remember every time, all right, so I have a 14-year-old that's, you know, trying to find his way in life. And every time he does something that's, you know, that he's just trying to find his way in life. I remember things that you guys did when you were raising kids and I was part of it. I do. I think, no, I got to watch what I'm doing here. See, but the things God has shown you and made you part of, or just that you just witnessed without God making you part of it, you have to remember that, because down the road, you're going to run into the same problem. Are you listening here? I'm going to tell on Brother Christopher. He was raising a young man, and the kid loved hoodies. Chris went overboard, and everything he got had a hoodie on it. He cut it off. Threw a fit. Didn't have no peace over a stupid hoodie. And I just sat home and prayed for him. I said, God, what is this man's problem? He's gotten possessed with these hoodies on these shirts. And I'm quite sure now when he thinks about it, he wished he hadn't done those things. But at that point, he was messed up. And how many of us do things like that, you know? God said, how's your character? I'm going to tell him, Brother Chris, again. He was married, and they lived in an apartment complex or whatever you call them things. And every night he came home, the first thing his wife did was start throwing a fit, because it wasn't Catherine. But it was because somebody had taken their parking spot. So one night he just had too much. He took a hammer, went out there, and mashed all the guys' windows in. He was telling everybody he was assistant pastor in the church. And I'm thinking, God, See, his love walk wasn't right, right? His love walk was not right. I'm just using an example. If your love walk's right, you won't do dumb stuff like that. See, he doesn't let me know what he does with Catherine, so I can't tell on him. There's not one person in this room that there isn't times when you walk out of your love walk. You get filled up to here. And when you get up to here, there's no love above that level. And then you do dumb things. So we can't get filled up to here. We have to stay in our love walk. Now, did you learn anything at all tonight? Without love, I don't care what you do. You can see the biggest miracles in the world, and the devil can do that. He can manifest the biggest miracles in the world. But if you are not a love vessel, you're not going to heaven. I'd rather sit down and do nothing than jeopardize my place in heaven. There's a couple times my love walk wasn't where it should be, and I wouldn't even preach. I'd have different ones in the church get up here and teach. I wouldn't do it. I wasn't going to teach when my love walk wasn't right. We all get there, but we don't need to stay there. Too many people stay there, or they start building walls around their heart, and you're only going to do so much to me. One time God said, daughter, you started to build a wall again. I had two layers of bricks around my heart, started at the bottom. He says, you can't do that. So I had to let him mash all them bricks back down. Every now and then I'd like to have a mountain built around my heart, wouldn't you? Yes. But we can't do that. Jesus didn't do that. You're professing to be just like Jesus. I remember we used to write on the bottom of our shoes, Jesus Stomper. Was that what we wrote? A devil stomper. And I'd say, you do the dumbest things. And I said, you're not stomping on nothing. Because you're not walking in your love walk. You're still holding on to that little bit of flesh that satisfies you. Well, tonight I said, why are we not seeing miracles, and where is our love walk? If you know that your love walk needs worked on, you need to come up to the altar tonight, because God's going to work on your love walk.